The following podcast has been brought to you by Badger Club.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, Banter Club proudly brings to you, it is I, one half of the longest reigning tag team champions of the world, the Angel of Death 6XL, joining me as always.
That would be I, the other half of the longest reigning Ramble Mania tag team champions of all the times, DJ the Great.
What?
DJ the Great.
What?
And of course, son, we're the damn Banter Club. And we're here to talk that AEW Dynamite the Hoes Network.
I like hoes.
I love some hoes, son.
And sorry, son of a bitch, gonna come up to me. I'm gonna tell that son of a bitch I love hoes.
What? I'm gonna tell that sorry bastard I'm all about them hoes.
Don't you know about the hoes?
All about them hoes. But before we talk about them hoes and about the Dynamite and about all that other good stuff, we got to talk about the bits of news in and out and about the world of professional wrestling. And of course, it's always an eventful week. There's always a lot of things happening. This week, no different. Mm-hmm. Got a couple things going on. Let's start with PWI, Pro Wrestling Illustrated, the publication. They just came out with their top 150 women's rankings for 2022. Of course, if you don't know, PWI usually comes out with a more or less kayfabe list of like the best wrestlers that, you know, in the world, people on the radar. And the criteria is, ask them what the criteria is. No one knows the criteria. I don't fucking know what the criteria is. They pick their people, they decide their people, and they make a list. But, you know, PWI is a publication that's been around for a long time. It's well respected. Yep. Lots of wrestlers take it seriously because it's great exposure for them. Like, there's lots of wrestlers that end up as part of these lists that are able to take more bookings and things like that. So, you know, it's all feeding back into the industry. So,
yeah, I remember as a kid, you know, I used to always buy Raw magazine and WWF magazine. Ooh, remember that WWF? Anyway,
yeah, World Wrestling Federation.
So I used to buy those two magazines along with The Source. And what was it? Double XL. And what else did I used to buy? So I bought a whole bunch of like hip hop and wrestling magazines. That was it. And I just remember like when I first saw PWI, it had like a whole different presentation. It was a lot more gory. You see little pictures in the corner of like gory, bloody shit. It was a whole bunch of people that I didn't know who the fuck these guys were on the side. And then it was like your main big top guy in the industry at the moment. And like, I remember opening the shit and like reading about like non-kayfabe shit. And I'm like, and I believe that's where it all began.
Yeah, that is in terms of like dipping into your bigger, you know, wrestling publications, especially back in the day, because that's how you get deeper into the industry before the internet more or less took everything over. PWI was definitely one of them ones. But here's the top 10 of the women's 150 that, of course, you know, these things always cause quite the stir among the more crazy of the pro wrestling community.
Yeah.
So especially when you talk about who gets those top spots. So here we go. Let's go from 10 to 1.
I was going to say, all right, basically the fans that are David Arquette from Ready to Rumble.
Wrestling stock fake.
Those guys.
But number 10, Taya Valkyrie, who, you know, she left WWE. She was fired. But she left WWE. Loca. Yeah, La Güera Loca. She went back to AAA. She's been all over, whooping ass, killing it. Like that WWE run was basically a blip. And she left and went right back to doing her things. And she's been great ever since she's been back out there. Number 9, Starlight Kid, of course, of Stardom. One of the best out there right now. Stardom has had a banner year as they have three people in the top 10.
What do you think about that IWGP Stardom title? What do you think about it?
That New Japan is doing?
Yeah, have you seen the belt?
Yeah, I've seen it. I've seen the in the promotional material and shit.
What do you think about it?
I like it. I don't mind it.
It looks old school.
Yeah, it looks old school.
Mm-hmm. I like the. I like that it has like a, like that little kind of like crown banner. I think it was the V3 that had that look.
Yeah.
I like that top part that looks like a little crown, you know, with all the weird swirls and shit. Yeah. I was looking at the stones. The stones look real cool. The fact that they use white and I think either pink or purple or like magenta colored stones on the GP, and then the IW is like clear stones. It looks really cool. Then they got like little red and blue stones at the bottom. You know, it looks really simple. And I think it has like Athena in the middle or some type of like goddess with wings. And
Yeah.
It looks really cool. It looks really nice. I enjoy that belt.
Yeah.
Better than anything that they came out with. That fucking brick that they came out for the NJPW show. Fucking ew.
Probably hating on the fucking tablet title.
That's what it looked like. It's wrong. And of course, nobody liked that goddamn V5. Some people say it looks like the Divas belt. But I think, to be honest, I feel like it looks cool on Jay White.
Yeah, with Jay White, I've kind of gotten with it as he's held it. So with Okada, Okada's belt is always going to be V4 to me. But
yeah, well, he looks weird with this belt. You know what it is? I think it's like with the West. It's a Western style belt. So I guess for like the Western guys, it's not going to look weird.
Yeah.
By Western, I mean us over here on this side of the world.
Yeah.
Not West Japan. That doesn't. You know what I'm saying? But you know, like like the people from over here on this side, and of course from down there, down under.
Yeah.
You know, they gonna look right. You know, people not from Japan are gonna look right with that belt. But like the Japanese dudes look weird with that belt. Yeah. It looks really off. It's too mechanic-y for like Japan. When I think Japan, I think like, I don't know, like grandeur, like mad shit on it. You know what I'm saying? Like, mad diamonds. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyways, continue. PWI.
Number 8 on this list, Charlotte Flair, which kind of surprised me because ain't she been gone like most of the year?
Yeah. Woo!
But nonetheless, number 8. See, that's why these lists don't make sense. And surprisingly, I haven't heard anyone talk about the fact that Charlotte was number 8 because they're a lot madder about what's going on at the top of the list.
Hold on. I just realized something. We live in a world where The Rock's daughter and Ric Flair's daughter are in the same promotion.
Yeah.
Fucking insane. Triple H, tell your daughters to hurry up.
It depends on what they want to do. Maybe they don't want to be a part of this shit.
Steve, tell one of your daughters to wrestle.
They don't want to do it, son. It's over.
Steve had a daughter who wanted to, and I don't know what happened.
Probably told her no.
Listen, I love you. You're my daughter. But there ain't no chance in hell. That you gonna wrestle for the World Wrestling Federation. I just wrestled for fucking AEW. Fuck you, Dad. Ain't no fucking way.
You ain't any daughter of mine.
I'm gonna whoop your ass.
Yeah, that's where we're going with there. Number 7 on the list, Saya Kamitani, also of Stardom. Number 6. Jordynne Grace of Impact Wrestling.
Yes, mommy. Yes,
she has had
sending you shit.
An incredible year. She's been on fire. I'm gonna beat her husband's ass. Number 5, Jade Cargill of AEW, the Hoes champion.
Yep,
she's been killing it. Number 4, the man, Becky Lynch, of course, of WWE.
She hasn't even. Okay.
She had some good matches with Bianca. That's what I know. Number 3, Thunder Rosa of AEW.
That makes sense.
Yes.
She had a banger year and then unfortunately injury.
Yeah, big year for her before the injuries. Number 2, Bianca Belair of WWE.
Yes, please. Yes.
Yes.
Thank you, Uncle Dave.
Not Dave Meltzer. Yeah, nothing to do with this.
Oh, sorry. Who's got something to do with this? Brian?
No. PWI is a totally separate thing. They do the observer things, which will probably.
I know, but they. Oh damn! They don't ask them, those guys.
They have no involvement with this. None whatsoever.
Oh, crap. Who's fucking handling this? Whoever you are, thank you
those guys
for acknowledging Bianca Belair. God damn it.
As number two and the number one of the PWI Women's 150 is Shuri of Stardom, who, if you don't know her, in the year she's had, she has had an incredible year.
I need to watch more Stardom is what this is telling me.
Yes. Probably the one match that will probably put you on to her is Utami Hamashita that she had last December.
I can't say that damn name either. It's okay.
I can barely say it myself. I'm a Stardom casual. But that match, everybody was talking about that match last year, and that like kickstarted what was a crazy, like, especially first like three or four months of the year for her. She had this crazy like 50-minute match with her on one of the Stardom shows. Mm-hmm. Dave Meltzer was like, this shit is 6 stars. This shit is some of the best shit I've ever seen.
Uncle Dave, let's fucking go.
Yeah, if you want to talk about Uncle Dave, he put her over, and she took off from that point and has had a banger year. She has easily been one of the best, most high-profile women's wrestlers in the world. She's been at the head of Stardom and their growth, and look at them working with New Japan now. Like, Stardom has had a great, great year, and Shuri has been at the helm of most of that. So
gotcha.
Great call. And of course there are people mad that this women's wrestler that they don't know from a promotion they don't watch won over Bianca Belair. But it's like, yo, I have no problem with this, man. You shouldn't have a problem with it either. Like, Bianca Belair works in WWE. She's gonna get her flowers, she's gonna get her recognition, she's gonna get everything she deserves, especially because they're pushing her and, you know, her talent is shining through.
And but now that Papa H is in charge, he loves her to death. And it's not like when Vince loves you, Vince loves you, he just makes you do all the hokiest, craziest shit because he does the idea that he wants to do.
Yeah, so
Triple H, he does what works best for you.
She's good. But this is, like I said at the top, it's a great way to spotlight other women's wrestling around the world and you know, shine a light on that stuff and bring everybody up. Rising tide lifts all boats. So I like this. I like that there's 3 Stardom women in the top 10, that there's such a wide range of Stardom, WWE, AEW, Impact. Mm-hmm. I like the representation. I think that's a good thing for professional wrestling.
And they're having a banger year. Like,
yeah.
Can you really blame them?
Yeah. So I thought this was very, very cool. The cover of the PWI issue has the 3 Stardom women in the top 10, Shuri, Kamatani, and Starlight Kid.
Mm-hmm.
So shout out to them. Shout out to Stardom. Again, if you want to check out some Stardom, there's lots of good places online to start. You should. You should.
Mm-hmm.
They got some fire.
Yoga Flame.
And now for this increasingly fucking star-studded movie, Lily James has joined the cast of The Iron Claw, which of course is the upcoming biopic on the Von Erich family.
Did you see Zac Efron?
Zac Efron, who is playing Kevin.
Jesus, he looks more like Carrie.
He's looking like Carrie.
Yeah, he's fucking huge.
But he's playing Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin's alive. So Kevin was probably like, hey, more muscle. You know, if all your brothers is gone and you're the only one still alive, your character gonna be exactly how you want him. Everybody else gonna look, you know, they gonna look like whatever, you know, whoever is doing the casting picks out. But your motherfucker, you gonna be like, wait, hold on. I know you picked this motherfucker too skinny, bro. Yeah, made me look jacked, bro. If this is the story that people are going to see for the rest of their life when it comes to my family, I got to look jacked, bro. I can't look like shit.
I mean, they building up quite the cast for this movie, for this Von Erich movie. I'm interested to see how it goes. I'm from A24 Films, so they've made a lot of big horror movies and things like that over the years and biopics. So I'm interested in this. This
makes sense to be made by somebody who does horror films, because that it's a family curse, bro.
Yeah. There, if you've never heard the story of the Von Erichs, it is a chilling tale, to say the least.
Let's just put it like this. Everyone except for Kevin dies prematurely.
Yeah.
That's a fucking curse. That's a huge curse.
The Von Erichs had it rough.
Mm-hmm. And there was like a lot of health issues to begin with. After one went, there was depression issues. It was all fucked up.
Yeah. So definitely going to be interesting to see what's going on with that Von Erichs movie. Shout out to The Kingdom. Mike Bennett, Maria Kanellis, and Matt Taven. They have signed multi-year AEW contracts.
How long have I been asking for that purple motherfucker to show up here?
Matt Taven? <Yeah. laughs> He's here now.
I'm like, yo, I want a purple ladder again. I want all of it.
All that bullshit. You're about to get powerbombed by Wardlow.
And put through a purple table. A purple table. And a purple ladder with some purple chairs.
Yeah, you're about to get sent to the purple rain beyond.
Dark Order gonna come out. Purple's our thing now.
Yeah, what you doing here?
And Jake Hager gonna pull up like, no, purple's my thing. I love this hat.
I like this hat. Fightful and Dave Meltzer have reported that these guys had all had talks with WWE. But nothing concrete had crystallized, so AEW was able to come in and bring them in, of course. Likely, I mean, they have AEW contracts, but I imagine right now they're also going to be used in a lot of Ring of Honor stuff. They're going to be challenging FTR. And we just got Taven on Rampage challenging Wardlow for the TNT title. So, Kingdom's here.
Yep. What else was I thinking? Oh, I don't know about this. They're saying, allegedly, that they're trying to buy out Punk's contract.
There are rumors that they are going to buy out CM Punk's AEW contract. This was something that was discussed as far back as immediately after the fight at All Out.
Mm-hmm.
And we're basically just, as we're going to talk about on the show, the Elite are coming back soon.
Yeah.
We know that at this point. Mm-hmm. They're going to be back soon. Which most likely means, based on everything we know at this point and based on whatever the journalists are all saying, CM Punk is probably not coming back.
Yeah.
And that means that they're probably working on a buyout. Everybody's been asked to keep quiet about the situation. So, you know, there's still all that legal maneuvering that they have to do. Mm-hmm. So nothing concrete. We don't know what the hell's going on for now, but that's mm-hmm. the word. It's the word on the streets. Yep.
A lot of people are saying, well, do you think he can show up in WWE? And most people are saying, ain't no way with the locker room that WWE has right now that Punk will be allowed. There's a lot of people who have a lot of not nice things to say about Punk in that locker room. So, unfortunately, I don't see that man going over there.
I don't see him going over there either, but I will say crazier things have happened. And
True.
If they feel like there's a good opportunity for them to either make money or generate buzz or even stick it to AEW, I can see them being willing to take it.
And that would be a stick up AEW's ass. I'm not even going to lie to you because the fact that CM Punk would be getting paid his entire contract, which means that he'll have all the money that he would have got paid for being at AEW, released of his contract from AEW, and probably be able to go to WWE for a nice bag. And then they sign him, and now he's getting paid twice.
Yeah, which is probably one of the holdups in this whole situation. Because apparently, if they do negotiate a buyout with Punk, they are going to throw on a non-compete. Specifically to prevent that, him taking the money and running right to WWE. He would be pulling what MJF has been threatening to do for the last fucking
years. And being that he never lost the title, they took their champion.
Yeah, yeah.
And he can show up with an AEW replica and throw it in the trash.
Yeah,
there's a lot of bad shit that can go here, which is why I'm like, Messi. So, Messi.
I mean, again, he had big time heat with Triple H.
Yeah.
More so than with Vince.
Yeah.
So
again, if you ever listen to him, he talks about Vince just being old and senile at this point. And Triple H being the one who actually, you know, will pull strings here and there.
Yeah, like he was like Vince just is fucking old and doesn't know what he's doing. But Triple H was the one that really was like maneuvering on me. That was really fucking on me.
Yep, he was, because from what we've heard, there was a point in time where nor Sean allegedly, were interested in him or liked him.
Yeah.
And those are the guys running creative right now.
They run the show now. So,
yep. Along with Road Doggy, who was also the homie.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, money conquers a lot, but that would be up to them to see if they want to cross that bridge.
Mm hmm. And for Punk, it wouldn't look nice. But what Triple H could do to make it nice and sweet is, you finally get your fucking Romania main event.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're going to lose to Roman Reigns. Flair. And I used the old one for a reason. That's
just put him in shield fit all over again. It doesn't even get to be Tribal Chief Roman Reigns. It's babyface Roman Reigns.
Facts.
You don't even get the good Roman Reigns.
You get the Family Dollar version. Oh man.
So ratings for Dynamite. Yeah. They were back on their normal night. Mm-hmm. They averaged 997,000 viewers, which
makes sense.
Up huge from Tuesday's episode because it was a Tuesday episode.
Come Tuesday.
Yes. Up 1% from the last Wednesday airing. Fifth on the cable charts with a 3-2 rating in 1849, which was pretty much identical to the last Wednesday 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Of course, the four things that finished ahead of it were NBA, Inside, and Real Housewives. So more or less the usual stuff. I mean, maybe you could be surprised they were knocked back, but they finished top five. But, you know, they fell back to number five when the last three, four, whatever months before that, they were consistently 1-3 that worst.
Yeah.
But still, year over year, up over last year around this time. So, you know, again, solid numbers, nothing to worry about. The number
is there. You know, a lot of people in New York not watching TV right now, too. So,
a whole lot of.
Fuck this week. Fuck it.
The Knicks are 4-1 at this moment.
So that then they can get buried later on.
Yeah, I'm trying to speak some positivity into the New York sports sphere.
Fuck this shit.
I was going to try to talk about the Nets, but they're bad actually right now. The Knicks. Not bad.
Yo, how about those Giants?
Yeah. Actually, aren't both New York football teams actually good right now?
I think the Giants are like, only so they can fucking listen, choke
fucking later.
Fuck right. These niggas.
Two opportunities. The Jets are fucking winning. The Giants
fucking
are winning.
New York teams in the 2020s. How we looking? Every time we make it to the end, fuck you.
It's miserable. I can't keep fighting these battles.
I just, you know, I have a smile on my, people don't know, but I'm most dangerous when I have a smile on my face because I'm you don't know if I'm happy or if I'm extremely pissed off. Extremely. I ain't talking about ECW. I'm talking about legit. Anything else, TJ?
But with that said, no, it's about time we get to the Dynamite.
Are you ready?
I believe I am ready.
No, I said, are you ready?
I am ready.
Then, for the thousands in attendance and the millions watching at home,
you.
It is time to light the fuse.
and bring the boom.
Let's banter.
AEW Dynamite from Norfolk, Virginia. Virginia is for lovers, or according to MJF, devil worshippers. But we'll talk about that later.
Yo, shout out to VA for giving me a real New York vibe.
Oh, New York vibes going over here. How about that?
I'll tell you why. That crowd was lit.
Yeah, they were rocking early on. Lit. Mm-hmm. Especially because we start this show off with the Jazz, Chris Jericho and Daniel Garcia versus Claudio Castagnoli.
The Jericho and Appreciation Society.
The leaders in sports.
Entertainers.
The show women during Judas Initiative continues. It's like the new baddie section. Every time during the course of Judas, it's just where the women at? Gotta show the ladies. William Regal joins commentary as this is a BCC match. And again, of course, immediately sexually accosts Excalibur upon arrival.
Why? Why?
Man with a mask, you look like a right creme brulee. What?
Regal, what is your issue, man?
What's going on here with you and Excalibur?
Is your wife not giving you attention?
They have a bit later. Fucking during, I forgot what match it was, but it's during Pit. And they're all just talking shit. Like, Regal's like, what did he say? Oh, my anniversary's tomorrow. My anniversary's in a few days. I wish I could just move it up and forget about it. Damn, and then Taz is over here like, wives, am I right? And then Excalibur's like, am I the only one over here that loves his wife? Taz goes, yes.
Well, according to Taz, his wife will fuck him up. Shala, la, la, tough girls.
Tough girls in Queens, you know what I'm saying? I met a tough girl out in Queens.
I married her.
So the match starts. Claudio starts hot. Yuta wants revenge on Daniel Garcia for betraying one of his dads. So he has at it.
My nigga, how do you have four dads? Three dads?
Three dads. Right? He protective of all of them. Fucking
he accosts them and scolds them like if they were his kids.
Yeah. He's not playing right now. Yuta growing up. He puts on a dragon sleeper. Jericho runs in for the save, but he and Garcia both end up receiving some hammer and anvil elbows before 2.0 pulled them out of the ring. They saved them. Then Jericho and Hager start trading. Hager distracts Claudio, who hops out to the apron for some reason to meet him and yell at him. And then Jericho hits him with the triangle dropkick, which I guess that was the reason. Into the picture-in-picture. Then we
holler if you hear me.
Yeah, Scott Steiner pulled up and he left. And then we came back from picture-in-picture, and either something weird happened in the crowd or AEW was on some fake audio type of time. Because when this came back from Pit, there was this weird-ass spike in crowd levels, but the crowd was still just sitting down. I was like, what was that?
I don't know. So I don't know. Something happened. Yeah. Anyways.
Jericho goes for the code breaker. Claudio blocks it. He goes for the walls, but Claudio blocks that. Then he hits him with the Swiss death uppercut. Mm-hmm. Hot tag to Yuta, who hits Jericho with the big flying splash and runs wild. Then they hit a tornado DDT combo for a near fall. Claudio hits the ropes for a springboard uppercut, but Jericho hits the code breaker. That gets a near fall. Yuta sends Garcia outside into his dad's, and then he dives onto all of them.
Yeah.
And his original dad's 2.0.
Yo, are you feeling these fits, by the way? The fact that they got the long, dark-colored jocks with the white boots?
Oh, Utes and Claudio?
Yeah, the BCC.
Yeah, the BCC. Yeah, I'm rocking with it.
Fucking Bryan Danielson, get you some white boots.
Right, you don't want to be. That's why you just mad at him, right? You're not being cohesive with the unit right now. Doing
Mox different. Mox don't wear white.
Mox do what he do, but you got to be uniform, man. Come on,
You're a wrestler.
Yeah,
Mox is Mox.
Mox is different. He great. We let Mox do him.
He different. That boy different. They talk about that later with his entrance. Anyways, go ahead.
Jericho goes for Floyd, but Claudio catches him and power bombs him, and now it's time to swing this man. So
this motherfucker, what is this man doing?
Daniel Garcia runs in to stop him.
Yeah.
And then Claudio lifts him up on his shoulders like, you going for the ride too, young man.
But what is he? What? I want the workout regimen he got.
He different.
I need to be at his level. I mean, I'm already an anomaly. I'm a big chunky dude who's annoyingly strong. But I want to be Cesaro strong.
He different.
That boy different.
He swings Jericho while holding Daniel Garcia on his shoulders. They're both going in a circle. He drops them. And then he just decides, I'm going to repeat that hot tag that y'all love posting that I did at WWE. I'm going to just do that again. So he goes out, runs, gives the uppercut, a drop kick, a double stomp. He does it all, goes back in the ring, hits Jericho with the God style neutralizer, covers him for the 1, 2, and 3. The BCC get the W. Fun opener, big W for mm-hmm. Claudio in Wheeler, Utah.
And to me, it felt like they won a goddamn handicap match. Goddamn. I never see more interference from a team. Oh, yo, I love you, Aubrey, but goddamn, son. Goddamn.
Yeah.
Girl Hebner, you got to get these niggas the fuck.
You got to hit them with one of these.
Yeah, you out of here. Yeah. Like they did to the damn Yankees. Fuck this
bullshit.
Fuck this bullshit, man. I feel like remember when they did the thing to Jimmy King.
Oh yeah.
where they like up? Fucking bullshit. And then they fucking flipped the whole truck. That's us.
Fucking bogus Houston Astros allergies. We got Renee Paquette with Brian Danielson talking smack homies back at me. Agreed. yeah. She asks how Brian is feeling ahead of his match with Sammy Guevara tonight. Brian says, you know, I'm frustrated that I lost to Chris Jericho, the Ring of Honor World Championship. I'm frustrated that Daniel Garcia turned on me. I'm frustrated that Wheeler Yuta talked back to me after everything I've done for him. You know, I have no problem with Sammy Guevara other than his face and his stupid vlog. So I'm going to take my frustrations out on him tonight. And then Yuta walks in, and, you know, he and Claudio walk in from the match. And he's like, oh, I'm glad you're finally showing some fire, Brian. You're going to get out there. You're going to fight Sammy. And then Brian gets pissed. Like, you're still going with this, Yuta. You're still mad at me. And then Claudio steps in. He's like, hey, you two break it up. All right. Yeah. It's Yuta's birthday tonight. We just had a great win out there. And tonight, I know you're going to beat the hell out of Sammy Guevara. So after you do that, we're going to talk in the back and we're going to sell this like adults.
That's what they should have done after the media scrum, but okay.
Man. Where were you then, Claudio? Where were you then, Claudio? We needed you then.
And Punk loves Claudio.
Right. As soon as Punk started, Claudio should have just came out like, no. Come on. Young Bucks, get mad. No.
You know damn well he ain't fighting Claudio.
Yeah,
Claudio would fucking he would yoke up CM Punk in the corner and be like, my man,
chill out. No.
Fucking A Steel would try to get tough with that motherfucker. He would just one time,
bro. He tried to bite him, Claudio would rip his teeth out.
Fucking, I'm telling you, bro. He won't rip his teeth out. You know what'll happen? He'll go to bite Claudio and his fucking teeth will snap.
The bionic arm or some shit.
Bro, this motherfucker's brolic, bro. None of this nonsense. No. Bucks pull up, he'll super kick them.
Right. Brian, before he walks off, he says, happy birthday, Wheeler. So, yeah, it is Wheeler Yuta's birthday. Shout out.
Yeah. Although Brian is not very happy.
Yeah, he ain't happy with him right now. Yeah. But now, we get a video package detailing the very beginning of AEW, where Hangman Adam Page stood with his friends. And if you remember who Hangman, his friends were, you remember that they were very important people to the inception of AEW.
Yep.
And then we see these people throughout AEW's history, winning championships, having main event matches.
Dust in the wind. Dust in the wind.
Every major moment they have, they just, Thanos style, they disappear. Dust in the wind. They were hit with the suspension stone.
Yeah. And it was even cooler because it was not like the regular dust in the wind. It was like flaming dust in the wind. It's like if Wong joined Thanos.
Right, they were too powerful for just Thanos to get rid of.
Yeah, you just
get him out of here. So yes, it's the basically the first we've heard the Elite directly mentioned since the situation at All Out, since their suspension. And now it looks like we're setting the ball in motion to bring the boys back.
I'm still mad at both the Bucks and CM Punk.
I'm mad at all of them.
I'm not that mad at a fucking Omega.
Yeah, because apparently all Kane was doing was trying to get the dog.
Get the dog?
Wait, no, the dog.
Which sounds like me.
Which it makes it hilarious to me because, you know, like you got the Young Buck to CM Punk over here, like ah.
Yeah.
And then fucking Kenny Omega's over here, like no, the dog. And then Ace Steel is like, hey, and
he just the dog over. Is near my wife.
He just runs over and attacks Kenny Omega.
I feel like that whole thing was a giant misunderstanding. And if motherfuckers would have just fucking like sat down and spoke like adults, it'd be a lot better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm just going to say this right quick, man. When they come back, I'm still going to be a little salty about them. Right. It is what it is. Except for Kenny, because stupid dog. Yeah. Kenny, to be honest, in this whole situation is Rob Van Dam. Fucking the Bucks are Sabu. and CM Punk was the cops.
It's like I said before, man. I love all these dudes as performers. I would like them all back on my television.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the situation
eventually,
is
but I'm still mad at you.
Yeah. I would like to be past this as soon as we can be. But yeah, at the very least, we got one part of the equation coming back. The Elite, they're on their way back. So we go to the Jazz and they're getting interviewed, but the audio is all fucked up.
And there's somebody's gray ass hair at the bottom showing up every 5 minutes.
And the crowd is just like, what? Like they can't hear shit. So yep. They just start, what?
And then they turn off the crowd. It was, I don't know what the fuck.
Somewhere in here, Jericho's like, the BCC cheated. And
basically.
Then he's like, I'm issuing an open challenge to all Ring of Honor champions. It's not just world champions anymore. Anybody, pure champion, tag champion, women's champion. I'll fight any Ring of Honor champion next week.
It's going to end up being Daniel Garcia.
Shit, maybe.
And they're going to do some funny shit.
Some goofy shit, yeah. And then Sammy says, tonight, I'm going to beat Bryan Danielson's ass. Daniel Garcia looked like he not fucking with Sammy Guevara still. Even though he back with the gang, he still like he don't fuck with Sammy. Swerve in Our Glory versus FTR. I was going to say the Acclaimed. I was like, no, the Acclaimed aren't here. But no, the Acclaimed are here.
They do. They come out, but they're not in the match.
Yeah, they're not in the match. They come out to sit at the top of the ramp, universe mode style. NPCs, also,
QNPCs.
Yeah, NPC styles. Also NPCs in the crowd, the ass boys.
Yep.
A la pandemic days, just talking copious amounts of trash from the front row.
This is when I kind of was like, yo, this shit is giving me New York vibes, man. You know what I'm saying?
That's a whole lot going on.
And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why right quick. And the reason why it was giving me New York vibes was because everyone was over except for the ass boys. but everyone was over. Yeah. Fucking when FTR comes, well, when Swervin is in their glory comes out, whose house, where's house, they get hype about it, you know what I'm saying? FTR comes out, you know, FTR gets a warrior pop now. Fucking they give them all that. Then the Acclaim comes out and they get something even bigger than they get an Austin pop. And I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ, these guys are over.
Crazy over right now.
Yep. And then during the beginning of this match, this is how you know they're fucking over. The crowd just goes ape shit on everybody's chant. But the one that starts it all is, oh, scissor me, dad. Well, first they start saying that they start chanting daddy ass. And then they start chanting, oh, scissor me, daddy, which is over, bro. Through the roof, through the moon, through fucking other galaxies, bro. These motherfuckers have conquered the multiverse.
They all about them scissors in Virginia. Virginia is for scissors. That's what Virginia is for tonight.
I mean, their letters, V-A, it's all scissors.
Yeah, it's all about the scissors.
Yeah.
So FTR, they try a big rig on Keith Lee, but ain't no goddamn way. So they both rush him. But he leapfrogs them both and then and takes them that. Out.
You know what I was chanting on my end?
What?
Oh, what were you thinking? Go ahead, my bad.
Keith Lee hit these men with a crossbody. Crowd went crazy for it.
Yeah.
And then we go to Pip where this man is just chopping the life out of Cash Wheeler. And then when we come back, he's in the throes of a comeback attempt. He gets to Dax, who runs wild on Swerve with some big chops. They exchange near falls. Swerve goes for a dive, but he slips. And he and Dax just go straight into another pin exchange sequence. Good cleanup. Mm-hmm. Cash tags back in, and these two just fucking knock Swerve around. And then Dax crushes him with a power bomb that gets a near fall. They fight over to the corner. Lee gets tagged back in. They take Dax out, hit Cash with a power bomb combo for a near fall. Then Swerve goes for the Swerve stomp. But Dax catches him, goes for the slingshot power bomb. Mm-hmm. Swerve reverses the first attempt, but eats the second one. And then fucking Keith Lee runs in right after Dax and hits a pounce. And then Cash goes down for the 1-2. He got him. No. So they go up top. FTR goes for the powerplex and a splash combo. Crowd goes crazy for that. That gets a near fall. They go for the big rig, but it's cut off by Swerve. So they get rid of him. They nail the big rig for the 1-2. He got him. No. Finally got Keith Lee with that big rig, but it was Swerve pulling Dax out. The evil bastard. I love the way the camera just zoomed in on Swerve. Yeah. This nigga's evil, bro.
You know you're evil when you do some fucked up shit. You turn around and look at the camera. Yeah.
This nigga Swerve is evil.
That reminds me of that one video. Oh, that one dude who was rapping or whatever, and then the dude behind the mat evilly pulls up and smacks the shit out of him and looks at the camera like, yeah.
That's Swerve. That's Swerve's energy at all times. He's just ready to do some dirt. Swerve throws Cash into the guns outside, and then low blows Cash. Keith Lee drops him with the big bad catastrophe, and the ass boys are jumping. Dax outside, they cover for the 1, 2, and 3, and Swerve in our glory gets the win. And now we are set for Acclaimed versus Swerve in our glory part 3.
That was some cheeky ass shit.
Yes, it was. And that then was some we
cheeky,
got
cheeky shit.
The guns, they're beating down FTR, but the Acclaimed run down for the save. They run the heels off, and once again, them boys are over.
Hell yeah. Everybody felt so over in this match. Like I said, they were chanting, "Oh, Scissor Me Daddy, whose house? Swerve's house. Oh, bask in his glory. FTR, FTR, all the scissors." Poor ass boys can't even get a fucking ass boy.
They got one early on, but
that was it for like 2 seconds because they were fucking, they were being dicks.
Now we got Renee with Saraya, but of course. Interviews are not allowed in AEW. So Britt Baker walks in immediately.
Nah. Hold on. Wait. Yo, Renee and Saraya are just, yeah, how you doing that? Nah, I'm good. Look, isn't it crazy? We're both here. Yeah, we're both here. This is so great. Blah, 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 blah. Fucking Britt pulls up. Saraya instantly, don't start with me, bitch.
And then Britt is like, well, you started with me first.
And then sorry. That shit took me out, bro. I was not expecting it. Yo, Saraya turned it on like this. Don't start with me, bitch.
Even Britt was taken aback. She was like, you fucking started with me.
I didn't eat. Damn.
And then Renee comes in like, all right, no. If you guys, we're not going to do this like this. If you guys want to have a conversation, we're going to do it the right way, okay?
Are you guys seeing the underlying theme of today's show? If there is a problem, you settle it away from cameras.
Right.
That was the theme of tonight's show.
Where was Renee?
You feel me? Where was Cesaro? Where was Renee? You know what I'm saying? Like,
no. CM Punk, you go over here. Young Bucks, you go over here.
Fucking the only person who did that shit smooth was Andrade. I'm not gonna touch him. I swear to God, no, I'm good. I'm not gonna touch him. It's all good. I'm just gonna talk to him. I'm just gonna talk to him. You mother!
All right, so what you were saying?
You was talking all that shit on Twitter.
We got Renee. She wanted to do an interview, and she's here doing an interview. She is so fine. But yes. That's neither here nor there.
Diablo Mommy.
She calls out MJF. MJF comes out, gets a big pop. She's going to ask him some questions, but he grabs the mic. He's like, don't hurt yourself, Renee. I've got this.
Oh, God.
He asks if there's any devil worshipers in the house. And then Renee takes the mic. He's like, all right, listen. John Moxley's got a title match tonight against Penta. Should he win, he will go on to face you at Full Gear. So, you know, what do you think about potentially facing Mox in that scenario? And then MJF is like, oh, you think I'm afraid of Mox? And then he starts to do the Mox impersonation.
You mean this guy? Dewey.
He's like, MJF, I'm going to shatter your bones, man. I'm going to drink your blood.
With the fingers.
He's doing all the Moxisms.
Little fingers. Fucking.
A pretty decent Mox impersonation, honestly.
Yeah. Listen, Mox has this like stoner kind of like weird vibe to him. You know what I'm saying? I fuck with it. But when you pointed out the way MJF did, I was like, yeah, that's kind of funny. Right.
It's like Mox pulls it off. But if you have someone that's like, you know, impersonating it or mimicking, it's like, yeah, you know what? That shit do kind of look funny.
It was. I was cracking up. But I was like, hey, I like all that shit, though. Stop.
He says, with all due respect, Renee, Mox is. And, you know, the crowd goes into it mid.
Well, he goes, you know the word. It starts with an M, it ends with a D. And the crowd goes, mad.
Yeah. And then Renee's like, you can't say with all due respect and then say something disrespectful like that. And then he goes, with all due respect, Renee, shut up. Which popped me crazy.
Me too. He's like, This is why Mox, I'm not Mox, this is why people love MJF, man, because he's a dick. Okay, continue.
And then he's like, you know, he says, all right, we got to talk about, though, what I said last week and me, I'm going to do it, you know, I'm going to earn it. Yeah, we all know that I meant I'm going to earn it relatively, right? I'm going to wrestle the match relatively clean. You know what I'm saying? Relatively. He says, you know what really annoyed me about last week is William Regal implying that I can't beat Mox without my dynamite diamond ring. Mm-hmm. So tonight, I'll make the promise that for one night and for one night only at Full Gear, I promise I will not use my dynamite diamond ring. Says he doesn't need
He's going to use Floyd the Bat.
Right? Says the only thing I've ever needed to be successful in life is a grudge. Says at Full Gear, you ain't fighting William Regal. You ain't fighting Mox. I ain't fighting Penta. I'm fighting everyone who ever said I wasn't good enough, and I will shove those words down everyone's throats when I become AEW champion of the world.
That's fucking right.
And before he goes into his catchphrase, he's interrupted by Stokely Hathaway. And Stokes coming out. He's talking his shit, feeling comfortable. MJF knocks the mic out of his hands like, what the fuck I told you about this bullshit? And then he's like, I'm going to cut you some slack, Stoke, because, you know, we've known each other for years. So maybe you don't understand what's going on here. But at Full Gear, I need Mox at 110%, which means you and the firm, don't go near him. Don't lay a hand on him. Don't even look at him.
Yep, you already know. I know Stoke, man. He going to go full Jey Uso.
I saw in his Stoke's face. I was like,
nah. You know what happened with Jey, right?
Yeah, what'd he do?
There was a situation where Roman is like, yo, leave that Paul Logan kid alone. And fucking Jay's like, yeah, okay. Jay pulls up and goes to fuck that nigga up and he gets his ass whooped. Fucking the whole time fucking Sammy's trying to stop him, like, yo, Roman said. Fuck, this nigga looks at him like, fuck what Roman said. I'm beating his ass. Then he got his ass whooped.
You gotta listen to Roman. In WWE, why would you not listen to Roman Reigns?
Always.
If I was in WWE, Roman tell me to do something, I'm gonna do it. You know what's going
hell
on
yeah,
around
hell
here.
Hell yeah. He I mean, he got to look at all the money he making.
Yeah, he the fucking king of this place.
Yep.
So yeah, MJF tells Stoke, you go near this man and you're fired. And then Stoke walks off, and then he does the catchphrase. Yeah. My name is Maxwell Jacob Friedman. I'm better than you. And you know it.
That was great.
Yeah, it was great. Good to see the Renee dynamic at play with, yep, with guys like MJF.
Yep, where it's like, oh, this is Mox's wife. Okay, I got you. Yeah. Good shit.
But she's so great at just like playing it off of not even as just Mox's wife, it's just like her own herself, her own persona.
Yep.
Like she the best.
Are you ready to talk about the kingdom?
Yes, the kingdom is here. Fucking God bless Maria Kanellis. I swear to God.
You know what's crazy? I'm not too into Maria Kanellis.
Maria Kanellis.
Like I wish Christy Hemme came back. She's fucking
the great. I don't know, man. The older she gets, the finer she gets. It's great.
You want to tell me like cute little redhead white girls? I'm more into Christy Hemme.
Hey, listen, I used to be more into Christy Hemme too. Then I don't know. Some Maria started having kids, and I don't know what happened. but yeah, Matt Taven, he wants the TNT Championship. He's coming for Wardlow, so you better get ready, Wardlow, for the man known as Matt Taven.
Matt Taven. Okay. Wardlow warned this motherfucker that he was going to eat him.
Yo, Wardlow and Joe just been doing that. Like, yo, you realize you're going to die.
Yeah. He's like, Wardlow's over here like, I killed Brian Cage. What makes you think you're going to survive me? Yeah. Who the fuck you think you are? Fucking Will Hobbs? I destroyed him too.
What do you think is going on out here?
I destroy everyone, motherfucker. Who you think? And then this Samoa Joe. I ain't got to say shit about this motherfucker.
Their whole energy is like, I'm going to whoop your ass. And even if I don't whoop your ass, he going to whoop your ass.
He going to whoop your ass. Me and you energy.
That's it.
TJ like, I'm going to whoop your ass. And if somehow, by some miracle of God, I don't whoop your ass, Vegeta over there going to whoop
your ass. He's going to whoop your ass. The moral of the story is, you getting your ass whooped
tonight. Oh, God. That just said what kind of creatures you are. I'm a straight up night creature. TJ is daytime. During the day, I'm struggling. I'm half asleep. I don't function during the day. At night, I'm awake. I'm alive. I'm ready to whoop somebody's ass. TJ at nighttime, worth nothing. Motherfucker tired. Oh, God.
That's how it is. You might survive this man during the day, but then I'm going to catch you. And then you might survive me during the night, but he going to catch you. There's no way. There's no way to escape.
There was no way.
So Danielson and Guevara, Dragon starts hot. Sammy takes out Dragon with a big sky twister press into the picture-in-picture. Sammy was going dive crazy early on in this. And then we come out. He's laying the boots into Danielson. He yells at this man, you stupid Dragon. I hate you.
Yet he has a Dragon Ball Z entrance.
Right?
I think you kind of love dragons, bro.
Yeah, you love dragons. You know what's going on.
You love the dragon of the dragon.
Dragon fires up. He starts to fucking end Sammy with the 2K comeback. He sends him outside, bombs him with the tope suicida. He's laying into him with the kicks, but Sammy comes back with the Spanish
fly. You didn't wait for me.
Oh, I didn't wait. My bad.
Yeah, we were going to do tope
suicida.
Damn. Go ahead.
Sammy goes for a moonsault, but Danielson avoids the first, and moonsault. Then he goes for a second, Andrade style, but he avoids that one, and then he goes for a third, but Danielson gets the knees up, puts on the label lock, so then he breaks free and goes up top, hits Brian with the avalanche Spanish fly, that gets the near fall. So then he bites Dragon and goes for the GTH, but Dragon turns him inside out with the Busaiku knee, and then kicks his fucking head in, and then puts him in the triangle. Drop some elbows on his bitch ass. Sammy
drop
Guevara.
Bows on him.
He's
drop
dead.
Bows on him. Drop bows. Drop bows. Drop
this
bows.
This was violence. This was
what do they call that shit? The fucking the hammer and
hammer and anvil elbows.
Yeah. Love that shit. That shit sounds gangster.
That shit violent.
even though all the time I be wanting to say Hammer and Sickle.
Hammer and Sickle, yeah.
Fucking me up. Fucking Grusha.
This is a great match, though. Fucking this was almost like fucking Danielson was hitting Sammy. Like, I dare you to complain that I'm hitting you too hard.
Fact. Oh my god. Oh my god. Could say one more damn thing about anybody in this locker room being too tough. You little bitch.
Man, the fuck up.
Stop being a little bitch.
Oh, this is good shit. I like this. That's what needs to happen. Anytime somebody get too out of pocket backstage in AEW, just put them in a match with Danielson and just let Danielson just stomp their fucking face in.
And if they can complain about Danielson, we won't see.
Because who won't complain about Brian Danielson? Who really that bold?
You want to end your career?
Right?
I mean, a lot of people felt that way about CM Punk, though. So.
Yeah, but I mean, personality wise, like, yeah, everybody respects Punk as a worker, but like personality wise, I get how you can rub you the wrong way.
Yeah, he's spicy. Like Rob Van Dam said, he's one of those people that I'm always worried if I should be worried about what I'm saying.
Yeah, so I can get that element of it, but what Danielson is like,
should I be offended? Fucking Rob Van Dam is the best. Anyways, go ahead.
but like Danielson is like, he's like the most chill motherfucker, and then like. Generationally great in-ring talent, so like you can never complain about this man in ring because he's gonna look at you like you stupid. Him,
what yeah, he do? Gonna, yeah, he's like, nigga, I am basically at this point the excellence of execution.
Yeah,
sorry, Brett, he took your title.
Yeah.
So if you complain about the guy who's like known to be like the best wrestler, like again, like I said, the excellence. Yeah. How the fuck? You a bitch.
There's a problem in a Brian Danielson match. The problem then is you, not Brian Danielson.
The problem is
yeah. We got Renee with Alex Abrahantes and Ray Phoenix.
Damn, they got Renee doing fucking all the duty tonight.
They out here. They was like, we got Renee. We going, she's doing all the interviews. You putting her to work.
Hell yeah. Alex Marvez, who?
Yeah. She asked about tonight's main event with Penta Challenge and Mox. They say that Pence is going to beat Mox and become a double champion. And in fact, you know what? I think we could all be double champions here in AEW. Ray Phoenix talked about how he might want that All Atlantic Championship. Mm-hmm. Then Christian Cage and Luchasaurus walk up like, hey, didn't I just say last week that this man Luchasaurus is putting all champions on notice?
Yep.
That includes the All Atlantic World Champion, Orange Cassidy. And what?
You speaking just of wrestled- the devil.
Yeah, before he comes up, he's like, you just wrestled Jungle Boy, and Jungle Boy beat you, and Luchasaurus just beat Jungle Boy. So if anybody deserves a shot at that title, it's Luchasaurus. And then Orange Cassidy walks up with his title in his book bag like, y'all talk about me? Y'all talking about this?
This motherfucker in his goddamn book bag. When he took it out the book bag, I'm like.
He was like, you talking about me?
This? This right here? You guys want
next
this?
Week, let's do this. Then he walks away.
He's definitely a South Park character.
So we got a triple threat next week. Orange Cassidy, Luchasaurus, and Ray Phoenix. That's going to be – look out for that one. I think that's a sleeper.
Yeah, yeah.
Jamie Hayter versus Riho.
Okay. I didn't sleep on this. I actually was disappointed by the match, to be honest.
You were disappointed by Jamie Hayter and Riho.
Yes, but I'll talk about it at the end.
Disappointed at this woman throwing her on her head.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, a lot of botches here, man.
That's what they do. Britt interferes. She messes with Riho early, but Riho still sends her packing. And like Jamie said in the promo, what's she going to do? Jump off the top rope? That's exactly what she did. She jumped off the top rope, hit a crossbody on Jamie on the floor. And then she hits a couple snap suplexes in the ring, throws her back for some near falls, and then we go to picture in picture. Come back, the trade in hands, the crowd is chanting for them both. Riho cartwheels through a lariat and then hits a Cazadora into a double stomp. And then she goes for a tiger faint kick, but Jamie blocks it. But Riho locks in and gets a Northern Light suplex. That shit looks smooth as hell. Even Britt Baker on the outside was like, what the hell going on out here? She hits a sheer drop brainbuster from Jamie Hayter for the 1-2. She got her. No. And then Riho gets a top rope Rana. She rushes for the Meteora. but Jamie catches her and Rio changes into a code red for the 1-2. No, that was the cleanest code red I've seen this year. Rio dragon suplexes the fuck out of Jamie Hayter for a near fall. So I hope the people who were crying about Athena did not watch this match. Especially after Jamie Hayter fucking decapitates Riho with a series of lariats.
Oh, God. those were mean. Those were aggressive. I mean, if you were complaining about Ember Moon or Athena, this shit right here, she ragdogged the whole match, bro. And go ahead.
Decapitates this woman, covers her with a 1, 2, and 3. Jamie Hayter gets the win. Post-match, Tony Storm comes out for the Universe Mode cutscene, looking all lean and toned and shit. I thought this was a really good match, but you can say your piece.
Nah, it's just, here's what it is, man. There was a lot of botches. A lot of botches. There was a lot of miscommunication going on, and you can tell because Riho would be like, she'll stop and she'll put her feet down when Jamie's like, no, you come here. And every time that Jamie was going to set up for like a big move, Riho would be either too far or too. And then in that final clothesline, she landed so fucking bleh. I was just like, God, man, they gotta figure out that communication situation, because that shit was messy to me, man.
Part of the reason I liked it is I don't mind when wrestling looks a little janky if you're quick enough to get it back on track. And I feel like they did that every time in this match. Like, they would flub a spot and then they would come back and fucking Riho would just dump Jamie Hayter with a dragon suplex or some crazy shit. Like, I feel like they worked it back every time. I think the finish was supposed to look like that, because that lariat is a finish.
Yeah, it looked very, very...
It was nasty, though.
Nasty. I don't know. A lot of those botches look really... She landed on her. She poor Riho landed on her head like 4 times. I'm like, that's not.
And I mean, I guess after Hangman, it is strange to see that. But I also got to think about, like, the Riho's used to working like that, and so is Jamie Hayter.
Yeah.
So like for them, to us, it's probably like, oh my God, you got to protect yourself. But to them, it's like, we know what we're doing. There's good ugly and there's bad ugly. I thought this was good ugly.
Me, it was a combination. It's weird because like the bad parts were bad, but the good parts were good.
Yeah,
we're good. So it's like,
So now we got Renee once again with Eddie Kingston, and she was asked about his recent behavior. Eddie Kingston pops in, smiling on his face. He's like, "Yo, what up, sis?"
Yep. There's nothing wrong with me.
You know I'm good. He's like, "I'm having a great time. Don't even worry about me. Let's talk about the world champ."
This motherfucker turned into a drowning pool.
Right?
Nothing wrong with me.
So now Renee's like, "Well, what's your thoughts about the world championship match tonight?" Renee's like, "You know, it's going to be tough because, you know, Penta, that's my boy. So, you know, Mox is going to come at you, but I think Mox is going to keep it. I think he's going to hang on to the title. So, you know, I'm gonna be watching that. And everybody else?"
He said it was going to be a hard fight for Mox, though.
Yeah. He said
he still feels like he'll take it.
I feel he's going to take it, but, you know, Penta is tough.
And he even called Penta Pa. Yeah.
So he says, you know,
well, I think you're going to be all right, Pa.
It's going to be a great match, but everybody else, leave me alone. And then that's it. That's how he leaves it. Leave me alone.
So he went from drowning pool, nothing wrong with me, to Michael Jackson, leave me alone.
he finna whoop somebody's ass. Eddie finna go crazy.
Leave that man alone, bro. Stop poking at him. Don't poke the bird.
Now we got Darby doing a video package because Sting has been gone for a little bit. He's like, yeah.
Who is it?
He's like, you know, I told Sting.
Who is it?
It's Sting.
God damn it.
Okay. But he's not here, though. That's what I'm saying.
You know, you got to say it. You can't mention that man's name without saying his fucking gimmick now that we have it back.
You're not here, though.
Man called Sting.
He left to do this and that for a little bit. So,
you know, he does this and he does
that. He does that. He does all that.
Something about a heart attack.
Yeah, and a cat. Some crazy like that.
I don't know what the fuck that motherfucker was talking about.
But Darby, he told Sting, you know, I'm not happy right now, all right? But Sting is like, why not? You know, Darby, don't you realize you're the man who convinced me to come out of retirement? You're the man who convinced me to do all these things that I've been doing since I've been back. But Darby says, if I really am that man, then I have to prove it and I have to reveal myself by myself.
Ooh.
So Darby says to Jay Lethal, you can bring your friend who knows my supposed weakness, but, you know, I'm going to be ready for him. And then Lethal, Sanjay, and Satnam Singh pop up, and they're like, you want us to bring our friend Darby? I wouldn't worry about that if I were you. In fact, I'd be careful what you wish for, because it just might happen. So they bring in somebody. I don't know who they bring in, but they bring in somebody.
It's going to be some random motherfucker who's going to pretend to be his uncle.
I hope not, shit.
Some crazy shit. Yeah. I find it funny, you know. I see the only weakness that he has is that, you know, he would do very bad in the NXT locker room. That's the only weakness I see in Darby Allin. They caught you slipping, man. You know what I'm saying? The NXT parking lot is something else.
That's really dangerous.
It's dangerous. I was actually, I forgot what podcast was talking about it with. Like, somebody should make a map of like NXT world.
Yeah, that would have been handy back in the day.
Because, to be honest, they got like four locations where they like record everything. That's it. They got that one pond. Yeah. That's that promos. They got the parking lot. You know what I'm saying? Where that's the hood.
Everybody can jump out there.
You know what I'm saying? And they got that arena. That's it. You know what I'm saying? So. There's no security in that goddamn parking lot.
You used to have
the damn area. I wish I remember who the fuck said it. Damn.
They had that area that, well, it was Regal's office, but I guess it's now Sean's office.
Oh, yeah. GM boy has his own.
It looks like there's been enough talk. It's time for the main event.
It's Fuck You versus Cero Miedo in a big, huge fight tonight here on Dynamite.
You damn right. World Championship on the line, Penta El Cero M versus John Moxley. Penta's going back and forth early with Mox. He's doing the gimmick, but Mox is like, I don't give a fuck about none of that. I'm ready to fight.
he gave him what I like to call the Inner Circle Special.
Yes, right there. So he's Penta sends Mox outside, follows with a dive into the pit. When we come back, Penta rushes him in the corner, eats a belly to belly. Mox does a ten punch, and then goes for the mask. But Penta fires up, hits the sling blade for a near fall. He goes for the arm break. I see Penta try to break a motherfucker's arm in AEW in a minute.
It's been a while.
Mox steps through like, hell no, and kicks his fucking head in. But Penta steps through and breaks the arm for a near fall. So then he rushes outside for a destroyer on the steps. But Mox catches him, stops the destroyer, stuffs him with a DDT on the steps. He comes back, hits the King Kong Lariat. He goes, sends Penta up top. But Penta comes back with a diving double stomp, follows with the destroyer for the 1-2. He got him. No. So Penta hits the ropes. Mox comes back, hits him with a clean paradigm shift. Then goes right into the Death Rider DDT. Penta's dropped. Penta's out. Mox covers 1, 2, and 3. Mox retains. I thought this was a fun main event. Good to see Penta bring the arm break back.
Yeah, it was a decent match. No, I got no complaints. I had a good time.
Yeah, I guess Tony wanted to show him some love after that fucking crazy match he had at Triple Mania.
Yeah. I was gonna say about this, that fucking combo at the end. Oof, my nigga, that shit was mean. You gonna hit this man with a fucking Death Rider and a fucking Dirty Deeds.
The paradigm shift. Death Rider is a nasty combo.
That's gross. That was
Yes.
Anyways,
solid match. Fun finish. Mm-hmm. And then post-match, as Mox is celebrating, the Firm comes down and does exactly what MJF told them not to do. They start attacking Mox.
The fuck is Nas? Nas. Tell me you can't even get Foxy.
The Firm out of control.
Firm biz, man.
Smoke comes down. He gets a seat. We go to Marvez in the back. He's outside the BCC locker room. We see that they are locked inside the locker room. Because, of course, like Claudio said earlier, they were going to talk out their issues. So
yep.
They were all in the locker room talking, and now they're trapped.
And they should have never said shit on camera, bro.
Yeah. Motherfuckers watch the show here.
Yep.
They watch the
podcast. Oh, they chilling in their room? Oh, nobody watching them? Oh, bet. Fuck what MJF said. We're going to catch this motherfucker. So as this is happening, you know, they're about to murder both of these men. And fucking MJF comes out, and the crowd is like, what is he going to do? What is he going to do? And even he himself is contemplating. Guys on commentary play that up. And they're like, well, I guess, you know, I wouldn't blame him. And he walks off, and they're like, well, you know, who can blame him for that? Like, you know, he's fighting Mox. He can't, you know what I'm saying? Even though he's not happy with this, what can he do?
Yeah.
And he just, fuck it. He comes back out. He runs out, and he's like, you know what? Fuck you guys. You're fired. I told you guys not to do this shit. You guys keep fucking undermining me. Fuck that shit, nigga. You're fired. Okay. I'm fired. All right. So since they're fired, they beat the shit out of both MJF and Mox. Damn, this was fucking... wow, man. Babyface kind of turned, kind of, sort of, but not really.
That's the question here. Was this the MJF turn, or...
Or was this... Is this MJF listening to what Regal said?
Yeah, is this the next step in the story? I mean, regardless, it's the next step in the story, but like, what step is it?
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. Now we got questions. We got intriguing questions.
And knowing how smart and conniving MJF is at this point, how do you look at this? Because this could all be a part of his plan.
Yep.
Next thing you know, they'll be like, oh, we didn't even touch MJF like that.
Morrissey did put him through a table.
of course, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it was all gigged. It was worked. Yeah. You know that's how MJF works. Well, that's the problem. That's why I'm like, because MJF is that type of motherfucker, bro.
It's like, and especially because, like, the framework is there. We've already seen it. We've seen him mm-hmm. do this with Punk, with Cody, with Jericho. We've seen his scheming at play so many times in the past before. So now we see a situation like this, and we don't know what to think. It's boy who cried wolf.
Yep, that's the problem. It's you cry wolf so many times that at this point we don't know. With that, I can also say that, you know what I'm saying, if he stays heel and he does do this, it would be the perfect, perfect opportunity to build up Eddie Kingston again. And, you know, MJF wins the belt. Do something where Mox gets taken out. And finally, we get Eddie Kingston as world champ. I need to see it.
Yeah.
I need to see it. Before I die in this world, I need to see Eddie Kingston become a world champion. I need it. For AEW or WWE, either or. I don't see it happening over there. But here, come on, man, please.
Yeah.
I feel like if anybody deserves, you know, motherfuckers be like, you deserve it. Anybody deserves it. For real, Eddie Kingston.
Nah, Eddie is one of them dudes. He's one of them dudes.
Mm-hmm.
It would be an ultimate validation of everything he's done, everything he stood for so long. Like, that, and it, like, even storyline-wise, that works. Yep. So.
And he's a dude who's not really controversial. The only bullshit we ever seen him get in was that one time where he said rap lyrics and, ooh.
Yeah.
People are like, well, you're kind of white, bro. Yeah, you got some Puerto Rican in you, but you're also very, very Irish.
Yeah.
So
it's a strange situation, but
yeah, it's a weird mix, man. There, but you know, I understand that. I get it. You know, Eddie Kingston is from the hood.
Yeah.
He's from the street. The man, you know, he speaks very fluent New York.
Yeah.
So, you know, he probably thought it was all right, but then he didn't realize, like, yo, I'm hella fucking blue eyes, light skinned motherfucker. Like, ooh. Yeah. You know,
it's one thing if you're saying it to, you know, people on the block, everybody, oh, that's Eddie. You know him, be cool.
Yeah.
But, you know,
nah, he's Puerto Rican, he cool.
Yeah. Not everybody knows that.
So, you know, people are going to be like, ooh, you know what I'm saying? Other than that, you know, the Sammy Guevara thing, which was patched up quickly, so he's not a fuck up, he's not a screw up when it comes to this company. I treat him good, bro.
In comparison to the other shit that's happened in AEW,
that's
the Eddie and Sammy thing is nothing.
Yeah. He mushed his shit for calling him fat. I would have too.
And then they squashed it.
Yeah.
So like in terms of AEW fights, this is nothing.
But then Sammy went and got his dick. That's the thing. He put his dick in every fucking cup.
Right? That's not even the worst Sammy fight. Yeah. Like
Andrade almost killed his ass. Oh man. So well, Teej.
Yeah, that was Dynamite. Was, yeah. Thought it was a pretty fun show. Yeah. Really good fucking tag team match with FTR and
Glory. Oh, hell yeah.
I know you weren't as hot on the women's match, but I was. Yeah. And even regardless of what you thought about the match, I did think it was good to get Riho back in there. I thought it was good to give Jamie a win. Yeah. In terms of, you know, just giving the women more time and space and opportunity to do stuff.
I was going to say the main event too, like story-wise and
yeah,
everything was good there, you know?
Yeah.
Match-wise, Penta is a beast. Mox is a beast. They hit each other like they know how to hit each other.
Yeah.
And it was good, you know? It's just, man, some of those shoulder blocks were a little off when it comes to that women's match. Some of them slams, some of them bumps, some of them go here, go there kind of situations. It was like, oh.
Yeah.
Everything else to me was fly, you know?
Yeah, it was solid. We got Renee Paquette all over the show, so you'll have to see that. But yeah,
I was going to say, speaking of fly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fun Dynamite.
Yep. Well, I think it's time for you to let these people know where to find us.
Indeed. Yeah.
Indubitably.
Find us on Instagram at TJTheGreatOne. What the fuck did I just say? No, find us on Instagram at Ramble.
It happens to me too, bro.
What the hell? Find us on Instagram at Ramble Mania Show and on Twitter at Ramble Mania. Facebook.com/Ramble Mania Show. Also find our group there, Ramble Mania Show's Banter Club. We need all the rest of this podcast is already associated with. Plus all the ones on and all that's going down. As far as audio goes, wherever audio is found, that's Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Anchor, TuneIn, Overcast, everywhere your podcasts are from, search Ramble Mania Show or Banter Club. As for visuals, we're on twitch.tv/Ramble Mania Show. We're on YouTube, Spotify, video, search Ramble Mania Show or Banter Club. And when you get here, like the videos, click subscribe, and click the bell so that when the new content drops, it goes straight
to you.
And as for me personally, find me on Instagram at TJTheGreatOne. That's TJ the GR, the number 8, the number 1. And find me on Twitter at TJ the Great. That's TJ the GR, the number 8. It's as simple as that.
TJ the Great. Too. TJ the Great.
You damn right.
You know what I was gonna say actually? When that situation happened earlier, I was like, yo, it reminds me of when you know how long my fucking hallway is.
Yeah.
When I go through that hallway, sometimes I get to the kitchen. I'm like, what the fuck did I come here for? That's what that reminds me. Anyways, you can find me on Instagram at the number 6, the letter X, the letter L. That is at 6XL. You can find me on Twitter at SIIXX. Ain't I great? That is at SIIXX. You're already. And you can find us on Twitter at Rival Mini Show. With all that being said, we're going to leave our BC aliens. Rental Club Loyalists with a little something we like to call a too sweet.
Too sweet. And a good fight.
And a good life.